Seasons of Hopeful Melancholy by Selenic. Summer Travelers. Time changed everything. What had once been a deep forest pond could become nothing but a puddle, just as a strong tree could become a hollow trunk, as change was their nature and nature was forever changing. Yet ever more often, an outside force turned up to speed up the process. A forest had turned into a park into a garden into an inner courtyard surrounded by towers of concrete and glass instead of trees. Within the stone enclosure stood the last remaining tree, and by its roots bubbled a shallow pond, water quietly flowing into it from the last vestiges of an almost dried-up natural spring. There was barely a wind to be felt, only the distant songs of birds to be heard, and were it not for the still heat of the air, it would have been hard to mark the season as summer. It was that one quiet hour of the day when the sun reached the apex of its arc, and could peek between the tall buildings and shine on the barely rippling surface of the pond, waking the slumbering inhabitant. The waters began to swirl, and a figure emerged from the shallow pool. A young-looking man with pale skin and dark hair, the worn jeans and flower-embroidered button-down shirt oddly out of place on his body. Water still dripping from his hair, the spirit-become man inspected his form, learning his new shape. "This will have to do, I guess, if we are to travel amongst the humans," he noted sadly and sighed. The last of his strength had been used for this, so he had no choice for now. He turned toward the lone tree beside him, tenderly placing a newly formed slender hand on the thick bark. Once the mighty tree had sheltered the forest pond, its wide canopy leaning over the waters, the lowest branches gently caressing the surface as they moved in the soft breeze. Now most of them had fallen or been cut off, and barely any leaves adorned the ones left. The tree was dying, just like the spring at its roots. "Come, it's time for us to leave," the young man beckoned, smiling faintly. "There is a scent of wild nature still in the wind. Let us follow its call." The old tree trembled and creaked, a crack appearing in the bark, widening to open the hollow insides to the world. Another man stepped through into the light, sandy-haired and doe-eyed, unsteady on his new feet that grew out of his heavy leather boots, their weight offering at least a little comfort for the loss of his roots. "I guess that will have to do as well," the water spirit said, his smile amused as he took in the attire of the treeborn, a very loosely knitted shirt, faintly reminiscent of his bark, and a short-cropped pair of jeans-turned shorts that ended above the still wobbly knees. The other man's head tilted, his brow forming a question. Trees were slower by nature, and it would take time for him to find his words. "Think you can walk?" The reply was a nod and a few shaky steps taken forward, close enough to reach over and enclose the other in a tight embrace. The branches hadn't touched the water in so many years. "I know," the water spirit whispered, wrapping the arms that he now had around the warm body of his longtime companion. "I've missed you too." For a moment they held each other in silence, enjoying the sunlight on their unfamiliar skins, letting it seep into their beings to warm them against the cold shadows of concrete. "Let's go," the water spirit said, taking hold of the treeborn's hand, "together." Another nod, a squeeze of his hand and a bright smile. They started walking along the sunlit path leading out of the courtyard and towards a new forest, a new kind of life and future. They didn't look back at their little spot surrounded by black and yellow tape. Nor did they stop to read the sign that declared in happy bright letters, "Coming soon, a virtual reality booth. Visit any park in the world." Time changed everything, and perhaps one day all the concrete would crumble, and there might yet again be a forest here they could return to. But that would be another story for another time. Fall Migration. There was a world within and a world without, and sometimes they were the same thing, at least in a literary sense. The world within Doyoung's room was without many things, including freedom to be who he was for most of the time. an expensive, secret, and privately funded asylum with soft mattresses, quality linen, and silk sleepwear was nevertheless an asylum, and one that Do-young would be confined to for the rest of his life. Or until he was reformed, of course, but that was not an option. Love was something he would rather learn to live without than have a false one forced upon him. Yet another bland day of supervised routines had passed in his neutral-colored surroundings, consisting of supervised meals without any flavor, supervised outings in the bleak courtyard, supervised naps in his oversized bed, and supervised studies in the VIP-only library, because the firstborn son of a large family company was expected to inherit it even if he currently wasn't deemed fit to run it. After his semi-supervised bath and lukewarm water that he could take with the modicum of privacy, Do-young was at least left alone for the night, luxuriously held hostage between the locked door, the padded walls, and the barred windows. But in his soundproof prison, he was free to sing to his heart's content. Each night he filled the air with music, leaning against the triple mattress bed and staring out the window, his melodious voice flowing with equal ease along songs of raw pain and sorrow, as well as those of deep yet mellow longing. It was his way of letting all the darkness within pour out of him. That was how he lived on to see another dawn, and gathered enough strength to crawl past the daylight hours into another night without giving up. He never expected to have an audience, though. Reaching the end of a slow, wistful ballad, a tale of a prisoner watching the flight of birds, appropriate as the fall migration had begun, and there'd been plenty flying by his window, to his surprise, Do-young received a solitary applause. "Who's there?" Do-young demanded sharply, eyeing the dark corners of the room. He hadn't heard anyone enter, and when opened, the thick wooden door would creak loud enough to wake the dead.
"Now that's what I call soulful," a smooth voice replied, and a man emerged from the shadows, fluid like smoke that suddenly materializes into something solid. He was tall and handsome in an almost unreal fashion, his smile wide and warm, his eyes dark but mirthful as he stepped into the rectangle of light created by the low-hanging moon that shone into the room.
"Am I dead?" Do-young asked, because somehow it was the first thing that popped into his head.
"Are you dead?" seemed as logical a second choice for a question as any, though in all likelihood Do-young was just hallucinating. After all, he'd barely been sleeping lately, and they'd changed his meds again yesterday, and that always messed with his head. Maybe he'd just sung himself to death and didn't know it?
"No, not yet anyway, as I am not here for you," was the stranger's first answer. "And no, but I am death, so close enough," was the second, and it was accompanied by an amused and quite charming smile.
"Aren't you supposed to be wearing something more traditional?" Do-young found himself asking, more intrigued than afraid, the mind-numbing daily routines having left his curiosity starved for far too long.
"Or just, you know, something black in general," he noted, taking in the soft blonde hair and the all-brown attire. Apart from the color, the long leather jacket seemed to fit the part, though. The man, or death, as he claimed, chuckled, the sound of his laughter more human and warm than Do-young had expected.
"Stereotypes can get a little," he said as he approached Do-young, still smiling as he crouched before Do-young, and up close his face was even more fascinating to behold.
"Boring and restrictive, don't you think?"
"I can't tell if you're mocking me or not," Do-young huffed, but the corner of his mouth quirked nonetheless.
"So, do you plan on dying?" Death asked, watching Do-young with keen interest. There seemed to be distant stars lurking within the depths of his eyes, and they were twinkling.
"I can make this a two-for-one trip."
"Never," Do-young replied without thinking, getting more and more distracted by the eyes focusing on him. Then Do-young's attention moved on to the smiling lips that seemed all too red and inviting for anyone claiming to be death.
"I mean, I know I will eventually," Do-young corrected himself, "but I would rather not right now if I have a choice, so if you don't mind, I'd rather live and keep singing."
He reached out to touch the sultry lips to see if they really were real, and surprisingly enough, death let him. They were cool to the touch, but also soft and indeed very real instead of ethereal. Suddenly it no longer mattered whether Doyoung was just imagining things quite vividly at that, or if this really was death personified. Because there was something else he was tempted to try, and his situation being what it was, he had nothing to lose if he did. Perhaps he wouldn't even mind dying afterwards. Taking his reality check one step further, Doyoung leaned closer and kissed the lips of death. Turned out they were also very real in how they responded to being kissed. And soon things went from a simple test to something almost unearthly, but also divine, yet very corporeal in how it woke the long-forgotten desires within Doyoung's body.
"You," Doyoung said as he reluctantly pulled away, breathing being something human needed to do even if death did not, "are not what I thought death would be like." "Less bony?" death asked, and chuckled again, the stars in his eyes brightening up.
"Less everything," Doyoung replied, at a loss for words, not only because he was slowly starting to believe the man, death, whatever, but also because it had been a long while since he'd felt so truly alive and so hungry for life.
"Again," he pleaded, desperate for more of that feeling, for his body and mind to soar beyond the confines of his cage at least for one night, if nothing else. Maybe he could write it into a song. To sing on those lonely nights when not even a bird would fly past his window. Gritting with all his teeth, his eyes burning bright now, death claimed Doyoung's mouth, and somehow it became all heat and fire, breathing life into a body that had almost forgotten how to live.
"Sing for me tonight, my beautiful bird," death told him, not in words but in booming vibrations that shook the room and rattled the windows as he lifted Doyoung up and into the bed. "Sing with all your being, and I will set you free." Then death took Doyoung's mouth again, then claimed his body, and helped him sing a song unlike any other, too beautiful for mortals to bear hearing without losing their minds. When dawn finally arrived, the creaking door opened into an empty room, and not a trace of Doyoung could ever be found. There had been a world within and a world without, yet now the world within the room was without its occupant. But the world without the room, it would all be within Doyoung's reach for the rest of his life. After that, well, that too would be another story.
Winter Memories. Sweet and bitter, like dark caramel with a hint of almost but not quite burnt sugar, like a tangy cocktail with a dash of bitters, to balance the syrupiness of the liqueur. Like the heavy scent of flowers, masking the ever-present antiseptic smell of a hospital room, and how that combination had come to almost mean home. Life had been a lot like that for Jaehyun. Not long after he'd been born, they discovered he had a congenital heart defect, and his first years had been spent more in hospitals than out of them. The smell of disinfectants and flowers was almost more familiar to him than that of a home-cooked meal. When he'd been barely a teenager, Jaehyun's mother had been diagnosed with cancer, and after longer and longer periods spent in chemo and whatnot, it had been announced to be terminal. She had lived out her final days in a hospice, where the same scent was perhaps fainter, but it had lingered there as well. After she had died, Jaehyun had also lost his father, 3 times in fact. First to grief that led his father into depression, then due to a car accident that put him in a coma, and then yet again just a month ago, after being forced to admit his father was only living on life support and would never recover. The bittersweet irony of it all was that the money Jaehyun could now save on not keeping his father alive, he could put aside for his final surgery to receive a new heart, if they ever found a matching donor. Not that he made much, doing any kind of freelance writing or editing job he could do at home, because no one would hire someone with his health issues, even if he could now almost live like a normal person. He could barely keep up with the expenses of regular heart checkups as it was. Yet here he was, smoking a cigarette outside the Napgoldang after visiting his parents' resting place now that they were together, wearing just a thin sweater over his shirt, because he'd forgotten the forecast had promised snow for the evening, and thinking about going for some drinks later, because he was just so damn tired of caring about health, his own or anyone else's. Snow began to fall and Jaehyun looked up at the big fluffy flakes drifting down like flowers from the murky, cloudy sky. "Do you think it's romantic?" a person asked as he appeared beside Jaehyun, dressed all dark and sleek, and for a moment Jaehyun thought a Grim Reaper had finally come to get him. "For Snow, I mean," the man added, stealing Jaehyun's cigarette and smoking the last few breaths of it. "Ugh, just as bitter as I recalled," he then noted absently, before tossing the thing in the trash. "Not really," Jaehyun replied, a little puzzled but also a little intrigued. "Do I know you?" he asked, though he was certain he'd remember meeting someone like this stranger. There was something almost mesmerizing about the man's appearance, especially the beautifully shaped eyes peering at Jaehyun from beneath long lashes, and the deeply red lips that always seemed to wear a hint of a smile. "Not really," the stranger replied, the corner of that mouth quirking. And oddly enough, Jaehyun seemed to remember seeing that before. In one of the myriad of hospitals, maybe? Or had he run into the man inside the Napgoldang just now? The longer Jaehyun stared at that captivating mouth, the stronger the feeling of familiarity became, like he was on the verge of capturing an elusive memory. "You weren't a doctor by any chance?" he asked, aware that he was staring at someone else's mouth for an inappropriately long time, but unable to stop. "Or a nurse? I've spent a lot of time in hospitals, so I thought we might have met in one. Behind one, near one, on the roof of one, in the car in the parking lot of one," the red mouth listed, forming words that shouldn't make any sense but which were slowly conjuring up images in Jaehyun's mind. They made even less sense. Always when the first snow falls, when the coming winter brings just a hint of bitterness to your blood, making it taste even sweeter. Jaehyun's heart started pounding, heavily, painfully, but it was unlike any symptom he usually experienced. Yet even that felt familiar. The memories hit him like crashing waves and made his head spin. Two bodies desperately tangled with each other. Jaehyun's heated breath visible in the cold air as he pushed Doyoung against the wall, his fingers sliding across smooth and cool skin as his heart beats in his chest like it's going to burst. The soft and low moans and curses in his ears begging him to move faster, harder. The taste of blood in his mouth, bitter and sweet as he bit on Doyoung's fingers, sucking on the droplets that will keep him alive for another year. The sharp pain in his neck as it's punctured by two sharp teeth, and the all-swallowing wave of pleasure that followed, wiping out his memory of the event. Breaking out of his daze, Jaehyun grabbed Doyoung by the arm and dragged him off to the side of the building, to a place more in the shadows. That felt all too familiar, like he'd done so before. No, he had, he remembered. This was how they ended up right before. "For how long have we been doing this?" was what he wanted to ask the vampire as he pushed him against the wall of the building. For now, Jaehyun knew him for what he was and who he was, but the words refused to come out. His chest felt like a furnace, unyielding tightness encasing a fire that burned him from within. 5 years, once a year, Doyoung told him, and he suddenly looked and sounded very weary, like he'd explained this to Jaehyun before, and probably had. He placed a hand on Jaehyun's chest, and a calming coolness spread from it that at least for the moment seemed to soothe his burning insides. Through his thin shirt, Jaehyun could sense the gentleness of those fingers, but also their hesitant longing to touch more of him. "This one was supposed to be the last time," Doyoung added, too quiet and serious for Jaehyun to not take note of, making him think there was something else he'd been forgetting. "Why?" Jaehyun asked, but he had a suspicion as to why things had gone the way they had, at least for why he'd succumbed. Having to take care of his parents as well as having his own health issues hadn't left much energy for any kind of relationship beyond the casual work-related ones. But that hardly meant that Jaehyun hadn't felt lonely, or in need of company, at least physical if nothing else. But what benefit would a vampire gain from taking an interest in a sick and bitter man like Jaehyun? There must be better prey out there in this world for him to hunt. "Why the last time?" Doyoung inquired tiredly. "Or why at all?" His smile was bittersweet, his dark eyes full of sorrow and joy. "A vampire's heart may not beat as yours," he continued,
as his hand traveled up from Jaehyun's chest to his mouth, offering a bite, and the part of Jaehyun that knew where things would lead was tempted. But it is still a viable human heart, alive as long as I'm alive, and it will keep living if you cut it out of me. Doyoung's words were calm, considered, and colder than the winter air. Jaehyun shuddered, realizing their meaning. He stared at the vampire leaning so casually against the wall he'd been forced against, the dark hair crowned with flowers of snow, the unfathomable eyes that didn't know how to cry, the lips as red as the blood they drank that Jaehyun had kissed until they bruised so many times. "I have fed my heart with your blood," Doyoung told him, gently pushing his thumb into Jaehyun's unresisting, unbelieving mouth. "It will not reject you." Then he forcefully grazed his thumb against a tooth, his cold, thick blood running on Jaehyun's tongue, and it was both a medicine and a drug, healing yet addictive, bitter yet sweet in the perfect combination. "No!" Jaehyun's mind wanted to scream, but his body wouldn't listen. It wasn't his heart that was on fire anymore, it was his whole body. With Doyoung's blood still on his tongue, Jaehyun rushed to claim Doyoung's mouth, his hands already tearing at the vampire's clothes. "No, don't do this, Doyoung!" Because Jaehyun remembered now, all of it. The shuddering form standing on the edge of the hospital roof as winter dawn arrived, the tips of his fingers already crumbling in a silent rain of dark ash. The exposed fangs of a mouth that threw vehement curses at him as they rolled onto the roof, and the surprising strength remaining in those weakened arms as they tried to escape from Jaehyun's hold. The tearless cries that echoed in the air when the vampire finally gave up and let himself just be held. His blackened fingers digging into Jaehyun's beige cardigan, the one his mother had bought for him the last Christmas before she died. The sharp pain of the first bite, taken out of desperation, out of desire to still keep living after all. They'd first made love then, there on the cold rooftop with no one else around, in that small maintenance storeroom they'd broken into to hide from the sun. Outside, the first snow of the year had just started to fall. Later, Jaehyun had woken up on a couch beside his father's hospital bed, having forgotten everything and wondering why there was soot on his clothes, and why his neck hurt though he found no injury on it. But for a long time after, his heart would be in a better condition than ever, and always was after the fall of first snow. Something hot was falling down Jaehyun's cheeks, and it took a while for him to realize they were his tears. The fire inside of him died, turning into fizzling embers. Fingers dug into soft flesh let go. The ravaging mouth released its quarry and took a long, shaky breath. "Not like this," Jaehyun pleaded, cradling the face of the vampire. "I don't want the cost of my life to be yours, and I refuse to let you make such a trade." "I owe you my life," Doyoung whispered. He looked devastated, yet even in his sadness, devastatingly beautiful, just like his heart. Jaehyun would have fallen in love with him, no matter what the circumstances of their meeting. "Then you owe me to keep living," Jaehyun replied, crushing Doyoung into a hug. "You owe me to let me remember you, you bloody bastard, so this godforsaken life of mine will have at least one person left in it for me to hold like this." He squeezed Doyoung even harder. "So don't you dare even think about dying before me, you...
Jaehyun stopped.
"Wait, how old are you exactly?"
279, Doyoung mumbled into Jaehyun's shoulder. "But I was almost 21 when I was turned. And that explained a lot. A few centuries of being a vampire was not the best way to grow into any kind of adulthood or develop rational thinking."
"You never thought to just keep helping me with your blood until I got a transplant?"
The body in Jaehyun's arm stiffened, and that was answer enough.
"How about," Jaehyun suggested, taking the embarrassed vampire by the shoulders and facing the downcast head, "how about we go someplace warm, grab some coffee, and start over, okay?"
"And sugar," Doyoung mumbled, straightening his clothes, refusing to look up. Jaehyun smiled, relieved, and his heart was beating with nothing but joy.
"All right, milk and sugar in yours, because you like things sweet," Jaehyun noted as they started walking back toward the lit entrance of the Napgoldang. There was a coffee machine in the lobby, and since they were already here, Jaehyun might as well take Doyoung to greet his parents. They'd be happy to know he wasn't alone anymore. Should be an interesting life from now on, learning how to deal with this adult but not vampire of a lover. But Jae-hoon was looking forward to it. It would be sweet and bitter, like dark caramel with a hint of almost but not quite burned sugar, or like a tangy cocktail with a dash of bitters to balance the syrupiness of the liqueur, like the taste of death that makes you appreciate the sweetness of life. And when Jae-hoon's life would come to an end, yes, that too will be another story, perhaps best left for them to tell if they choose to. What is left for us to do is to create the stories of our lives the best we can. Whatever your season right now, remember that another spring is just around the corner, waiting for you to bloom. The end. Thank you for listening. Be my forever only.